Welcome back to all who were gone on the Thanksgiving break. Hope you had a good break. We prayed for you to stay faithful and strong and to have a good time with family and friends or whatever. It's good to have you all back. I don't know if you've ever had that feeling of expecting a friend, expecting him to come, and then he delays. Or do you know what it is to be in unpleasant company? They just wish for the time to pass away and the hour to strike when you can regain your freedom. Do you know what it is to be in anxiety that something is about to happen? Something may happen soon, but it's not certain it'll happen. But it's some important event that just makes your heart beat a little faster when you're reminded of it. Maybe it's even the first thing you think of when you wake up in the morning. What would it be like to get a letter from a thief saying, "I'm coming for your house"? Jesus says, "Stay awake, for you don't know on which day your Lord will come." He doesn't say, "Sell all your belongings and join a doomsday cult." The example that he gives is nearly the opposite. Two men will be out in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the meal, at the mill. One will be taken, one will be left. He doesn't say that they shouldn't have been in the field or they shouldn't have been at the mill. He presumes that externally we continue to do all the things in this world that need to be done. But internally, we're expecting that friend who seems delayed. Internally, we're being charitable with worldly company. Internally, we're longing for the freedom to be with the King. Internally, we keep thinking of ways to prepare for the coming of that thief. One of the men in that field was fully in the world, both internally and externally, and he got left. One of the women was working at the mill only out of necessity, but her heart was continually growing in love for her Lord, and she was taken when he came. In our second reading, St. Paul says, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the desires of the flesh." Put on the Lord Jesus. In one sense, that means, in an interior sense, it means to always have him near as your own clothes, as your own skin, always awake to his presence. But the second half of that line is also important. Make no provisions for the desires of the flesh. In one sense, it means avoid the near occasion of sin. It means to be aware of my fleshly weaknesses and get the help I need to avoid them. How much effort do we make to avoid the near occasion of YouTube or social media or some very worldly, fleshly websites, or to avoid the near occasion of gossip or neglect or selfishness? Both our first reading and our psalm talk about the importance of going to the house of the Lord. Why? Because there we'll encounter judgment seats. Judgment seats where the word of the Lord instructs us in his ways, teaches us about his peace and virtue, judges, and hopefully forgives our sins, and where we learn to walk in his paths. It's important for us to come to this house of the Lord, to keep our hearts awake to the coming of the thief who is on his way. It's kind of a jarring image for us to hear Jesus compare himself to a thief, but he does. St. Paul does also in his letters. St. Peter does in his letters. The book of Revelation also does. There's multiple places throughout the New Testament where Jesus is compared, the Son of Man is compared to a thief. Our divine thief comes to take from this world whatever he desires. How difficult will it be for him to take your heart away from the things of this world? What would he have to pry away from you to get a hold of you? One of the great saints of our church loved this image of Christ the thief. As she lay dying of tuberculosis at the age of 24 and suffering tremendously from that disease, she spoke repeatedly of the thief. This is St. Thérèse of Lisieux. In her notebook, she wrote, "It's said in the gospel that God will come like a thief. He will come to steal me away in the nicest way possible. Oh, how I'd love to aid the thief." A month later, after she had once again coughed up blood, Mother Agnes asked her, "Are you afraid of the thief? This time he's at the door." And she replied at once, "No, he's not at the door. He's already come in." "But how can you ask me, my dear mother, whether I'm afraid of the thief? How could I be afraid of someone I love so much?" 3 days later, after coughing up more blood, she exclaimed, "No one can make me last 1 minute longer than the thief once." And a couple weeks later, she said to one of the sisters, "I too will steal. Many things will disappear from heaven because I'll bring them to you. I'll be a little thief." And later that same day, I was thinking I should be a deer and wait for the thief very quietly. Thérèse not only kept her heart awake to make sure she wouldn't miss the instant of his arrival, but she wanted to save him the trouble of having to break into her house. She wanted to fling wide open the gates to her heart and soul. If you received a letter from a thief saying, "I'm coming for your house," how would you prepare? In this house of God, we unlock the doors. We hear confessions. We light the candles. We proclaim the judgments, the instructions of the Word of God, and we unite in prayer around the altar of the Lord. How do you prepare your house, the house of your soul, for the coming of the thief? Externally, we still do our jobs, go to our classes, do our work, our homework. But internally, we too confess our sins, act in charity, pray with Scripture, receive the Holy Eucharist. We keep our hearts awake and longing for the bridegroom, the thief, the coming of the King. So here's the homework for the week. Prepare the house of your soul for the coming of the thief, the bridegroom, the King. Expect him every day this week, the gates of your heart thrown wide open.